Today on Pilgrim Radio's His People, Nate Lundquist on the separation of church and state and bringing Bible teaching to public school students.
Here we have the most transformational book in all of human history banned from the one place where we educate 90% of our population. That's a problem, right? And just people just simply don't know there's a way to do it. There's a way to bring it back that respects parents' choice, that is a perfect example of separation of church and state. It's all those things, and I think this is the way to do it.
Nate Lundquist next. Produced by LifeWise Academy and directed by filmmaker Nate Lundquist, the explosive new documentary, Off School Property, Solving the Separation of Church and State, is set to premiere in theaters October 23rd. Among other things, the film sheds light on a growing movement allowing parents to reinstate Bible instruction for their children during the school day in a manner that is off-campus, privately funded, and voluntary. Spencer Dahlke is with Nate Lundquist.
I saw you had a lot of experience with filming and this sort of thing. What drew you to LifeWise Academy?
As my involvement in LifeWise is concerned, I lead the creative team here. There's about 12 of us, and lead a team of designers and filmmakers and copywriters and marketing and all sorts of other efforts. So I'm very busy when not making a movie, also leading the team to create all the materials and support and resources and everything that's needed for LifeWise to function.
What was the spark that inspired you and the LifeWise team to create this documentary?
Yeah, so I've always been an artist growing up and always seen things through a filmmaker's lens. I've been a filmmaker for a long time. And then a friend of mine who happens to be the CEO and founder of LifeWise, you know, he and I have been friends for a good 20 years now. And as LifeWise started to grow and as I jumped on board, I just, even from the very beginning, knew that this story had to be told somehow, because it was so unbelievable. First of all, that there's a way to bring the Bible back to public education and no one knows about it, or very few people know about it. But then just knowing that documentaries are uniquely powerful. I've always believed that documentaries are a huge way to get a message out very effectively to a lot of people in a very powerful way. And yeah, I had it in mind at some point, we got to make a documentary about this whole thing that's happening. A couple of years ago, we started on that effort, and here we are now.
So what is it that is happening? What is the thesis that you're tackling with the documentary?
For those who aren't familiar with LifeWise, let's start there. LifeWise Academy is a nonprofit that helps communities implement an optional Bible class for their public school students during school hours. And most people didn't realize this was possible. We've all pointed to the moment when the Bible was removed from public education several decades ago as a real cultural moment. And a lot of people have been very sad about that, but didn't realize there's actually a way to bring it back and to reintegrate it into public education. 70 years ago, there was a Supreme Court ruling that basically outlined how to do it. It said, if as long as it's off school property, it's privately funded, and the students have permission from their parents, then an hour a day, they can receive religious instruction. And that's, you know, a lot of other religious groups, including Christians, have taken advantage of this over the last 70 years, kind of in pockets, though, around the country. And my friend Joel Penton, who's the founder and CEO of LifeWise, saw what was happening and thought, why in the world isn't this everywhere? Why isn't this like a YMCA and McDonald's? Just because it's so effective. In his hometown, he saw it happening, and they had 95% of the school enrolled, and it was benefiting the community tremendously, and the school loved it, and everybody was experiencing the benefits of having a Bible class for their public school students. And he just thought, you know, why isn't this happening everywhere? And realized it's because it's really hard. You got to set up your 501c3, you got to figure out your facility, your curriculum, your insurance, all those things. And so he thought, what if we put this concept in a box? What if we franchise the idea and made it easy and plug and play? Not that it's totally easy, right? It takes some work to get one up and running, but make it as simple as we can and support communities so that they can just plug in and we have the whole process outlined for them as to how to do it. Once that idea started to manifest, even in little small ways, communities just started grabbing a hold of it and it spread like wildfire. When it started in 2019, the goal was to be in 25 schools by the year 2025. And here we are now, confirmed to serve 1,200 schools across 35 states in this next school year. So it has exploded across the country. And we just found out the other day, actually, that it's in Hawaii. It's in Alaska. Like, it's just, you know, nationwide now, the spread. We were like, how do we get this message out? How do we tell people? Because really the biggest barrier that we have as LifeWise Academy is just that people don't know this is possible to reintegrate the Bible into public education. And when people find out that it's possible, they're like freaking out. Like, wow, how have I not known about this for so long? So that's the whole sole purpose of the documentary is, you know, here's a way that we can blast this message out to a lot of people. And it's hard to explain in a short, like 1 minute ad. So we thought, you know, what if we really teased out this whole thing, give you the history of how the Bible got separated from public education to begin with, how our country started in its initial relationship with the Bible and education, how it got separated, and then why that's such a big deal, because the Bible is a big deal. And then ultimately what we can do about it. And that's where we go into the idea of the Supreme Court ruling and LifeWise Academy and how people can reintegrate the Bible into public education anywhere in the country.
I understand that you even trace the Bible's role in American education back to the founding era. Is that correct?
Well, I do like a brief overview of the history in the movie, starting at kind of the 1600s, where the Bible was actually one of the driving motivations for literacy. And then as America became founded and schools became state run, and with the rise of science and secularism, every bit of religion, you know, started to get peeled away from public education until the 1960s, when it was fully codified in the Supreme Court. You know, the Bible and prayer are banned from public schools at that point.
How did you decide which moments in history you wanted to include?
As I looked through, you know, a lot of this was already kind of outlined in a book that Joel had written on this topic. And he had, I don't know what he went through in order to decide on which ones, but that I kind of used, it's a little bit of a screenplay adaptation of that book in the earlier parts of the book. So those were kind of the big mile markers. And as I did my research, in a movie, you don't have nearly as much time to go into the details as you do in a book. And so I really had to pare it down and kind of hit the highlights of when things shifted and changed. There's a lot in there. I mean, there's way more detail that could be gone into in terms of the different types of textbooks that were biblically based and whatnot in the early years. But I tried to keep it high level because that wasn't really the point of the movie. It was just kind of helping lay the groundwork, if that makes sense.
So if it was like an adaptation of your friend Joel's book, was there anything that he was writing about that surprised you?
Yes. You know, I've grown up in a Bible-believing household my whole life, and I was shocked at how much research there is on the impact of religious education for the thriving of individuals, and particularly students, as it is integrated into education. It made me realize at a certain point, it's almost like we value highly educating people, but this idea of wisdom has become this old idea. And there's a real danger in having people be highly educated and lacking wisdom. That's a really dangerous combination. And that's kind of what we've done by peeling away all of the moral guidance and in the roots from where that moral guidance comes from education entirely.
What do you think is the difference between education and wisdom?
Well, I think it's the difference between knowing things about the world versus knowing what to do in the majority of life circumstances where the moral rules don't apply. Timothy Keller he has a phenomenal series on wisdom that I've listened to many times. And that's kind of his working definition of wisdom, is knowing what to do in the majority of life circumstances where the moral rules don't apply. There's so much about life where it's not a decision of good or bad. It's just a decision between this option and this option. There are so many things, but the difference between those two decisions could ruin someone's life. You know, Timothy Keller uses the example in his teaching of, like, if you want to help a family out of poverty, that's a great intention, but if you go about it the wrong way, then you could ruin their life. Our lives hang on the wisdom we have to navigate. It makes all the difference. Knowing how to navigate life when there's not a clear path in order to thrive versus being really smart, knowing information about the world.
As I think you mentioned, religious instruction over time, like, stripped away from the public education sphere. How has that impacted these generations of students being raised in increasingly secular education?
I think there's an idea that has formed out of that time period that I think is an idea whose time has come. The idea that science is rational and that religious belief is irrational. I think that is at the core, personally, I think that's at the core of what pushed religious education out of the public sphere in terms of education. And I think that is an idea that has taken root at a very fundamental level in most people, regardless of whether you're a believer or not. I think there's tons of Christians who even believe that subconsciously and hang their faith upon nothing, because they're like, I don't need evidence to believe anything because it's just faith. And it's like, well, no, that's not what the Bible says at all. And then there's a whole category of people who are not Christians who think that it's just fairy tales because it's not rational. But I think what we need to recognize is that the only real things are things that can be proven by science. That idea alone is based on a faith statement. How do you prove what I just said with science? You can't. And so I think people need to own the fact that everybody's starting with a faith statement. The trickle-down effect from the starting point that you start with has tremendous impact on how you live your life. And I think for a lot of our culture, and we all see it, there's a huge epidemic of meaninglessness because, yeah, you might be able to have an explanation for the world that you live in and why you're here, but whether or not that explanation is anything meaningful is a totally other question. And I think for so many people, they're just struggling with meaninglessness. And that plays out in a million different ways that are not great, right? Like anxiety, suicide, depression are all up. And I think that there's a strong correlation between those two things.
It would seem too that it might cause like this sort of vicious cycle once we take the Bible and we don't have like that grounding in like objective truth and in the Word of God, that this meaninglessness that you talk about and the turning away from Scripture and towards these standards of what we believe to be true and how we can know things to be true that don't hold water if you remove God as the source of all truth, that it would start building on each other in future generations, that education would become increasingly less. That's just a hypothesis. Does the evidence seem to suggest that? What do you guys know about like how this cycle maybe builds on each other?
Yeah, I can just tell you what we've seen, and that is, you know, we got 50,000 students enrolled across the country, going to be 100,000 by the end of the school year. And we get a lot of reports back from the teachers that are talking to these young kids and getting an idea of what they, you know, what their starting point is. A lot of them have never even seen a Bible, never even heard of a Bible, are shocked at how thin the pages of the Bible are. Kids well into elementary school, never heard the name Jesus, had no idea who he is. And the cycle that we're starting to see happen is that these kids are falling in love with the Bible, falling in love with Jesus, taking it home with them to their families, and their families are having this moment where they're realizing either I ditched this because of some anger I had maybe or something that happened to me, but it wasn't necessarily a rational reason that I abandoned going to church or anything like that, or they just never had a belief system to begin with, or a church never knew who Jesus was to begin with. Everyone's got a belief system, but we're starting to see this whole generational turning point where the students are evangelizing their parents and their families. I mean, there's one story that I share in the film where a girl was told about a LifeWise class from her cousins and went to it and didn't know anything about God, never heard of him or anything like that from her parents, and went to this class and was like, there's a God and he loves me, and just like came home and slammed her hand on the kitchen island and said, why didn't you guys tell me about God? She said she was actually very angry. She was like, why didn't you tell me about God? Why don't we go to church? And the dad, he had no church experience or background and was like, I don't know. And then the mom, she had a prior, she'd grown up in church, but had left the church for a long time. And she said it cut her like a knife. And she was like, what are we doing? And then started realize like, we have to go back. Like, what are we doing with our life? So the family goes to church, and in the end, 9 of their family members and extended family members have all been baptized now. And so tell you that story as an archetype of what we're seeing happen broadly. I do think that, you know, we've tried a lot of things. We've tried postmodernism, where you can just believe whatever you want to believe. There's no absolute truth. We've tried, you know, science is the end all be all. Now, I think science is phenomenal. I think it's a phenomenal way to study the world and study what God has made and understand it. But it's not the end all be all explanation for everything. And so I think we've tried a lot of things. And I think that people are like, yep, nope, that thing that is ancient, that's still the real thing. All those other things we've tried are really empty, ultimately. I feel like we're seeing that more than ever right now.
Well, my guest today is Nate Lundquist. He's an award-winning director and the vice president of creative at LifeWise Academy, director of off-school property, solving the separation of church and state, their documentary about Bible in public education. It's encouraging to see kind of like those tides shifting a little bit, like you mentioned, like young people starting to go to church. It does kind of raise the question, though, like I have no doubt, like this has been pushed a lot by people that church and state are supposed to be separate. Mm-hmm. The subtitle of your documentary is Solving the Separation of Church and State. And I was curious how you guys framed that idea and what misconceptions about it are you aiming to correct?
The back of my shirt right now says Separation of Church and State in big letters, and then below it, it says, I don't think it means what you think it means. Separation of church and state, as I dug into it, particularly for the film, I realized this is so misunderstood, it's almost comical. That's the immediate knee-jerk reaction that most people have, particularly non-Christians, I would say, when they hear about what LifeWise is and what we're doing, is like, whoa, 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 what about separation of church and state? And first of all, this is why we named the movie Off School Property, because LifeWise is literally separating students from the public school to go to an offset facility to learn about the Bible. And so I find that a lot of the misconceptions about what LifeWise is in particular come from a lack of understanding of what LifeWise actually is. They hear about it and they immediately think, well, you can't read the Bible and you can't teach the Bible in school. And it's like, well, we're not doing it in school. It's off school property. And they're like, oh, well, you can't use tax dollars for this. And they're like, we're not, it's privately funded. And then they're like, well, you can't force kids to learn. And it's like, we're not, the parents have to opt their kids in. So once they understand those three things, a lot of times people are like, oh, okay, great. Do it. You know, to nail down specifically on separation of church and state, the irony of that whole thing is that term comes from a letter from Thomas Jefferson to a group of concerned Christians in 1802 who are writing to him because they were concerned that the government was going to force them to believe and worship like in some specific way, that the government of America, of early America, was going to mandate a state church. The words separation of church and state were intended to actually be a protection of the church. You know, a lot of people think that separation of church and state is to protect the government from the church, but in all reality, it's actually to protect the church from the government so that they're not forcing people to believe a certain thing. That's where the intention of its origination comes from, referring to the establishment clause. Not only is there a lot of misunderstanding about separation of church and state and what it is and what its intentions are for, I mean, it's not in any official government document, it's not in the Constitution, it's referring to an idea in the Constitution, but what LifeWise is doing, we actually like to say it's a perfect example of the separation of church and state, because we're separating the students from the state school when we teach them, you know, religious instruction. Just for fun to drill down into that a little bit more, I think a lot of what happens is people say, well, sure, you might be physically separating the students, but you're starting to blur the line. That's the term I always hear, is you're blurring the line between separation of church and state because it's still happening during school hours. And then I start to think, do we not allow students to pray in groups in the school before school starts, or to read the Bible before school starts or after school? Because they're going to leave that little prayer huddle and immediately enter into first period. And we start to get into this world where, are we really going to manage the influence from the outside into the public school day in terms of what kids are allowed to say or talk about? Or, you know, they're also going to go to church on Sunday. They're going to be in school on Monday morning. Are they not allowed to bring the influence of how their life is impacted into the school? Like, are we really going to have that, try to do that? And ultimately, it's a community issue. Like, what are we trying to do? Are we trying to say everybody's got to believe whatever they believe within even ratios here in the community, so that when we get to the school, it's representative evenly and no one feels left out? I mean, that's just not reality. And that's kind of where that logic goes.
I mean, it does seem like our culture like understands it one way that it was not originally intended to be understood, considering that, I mean, even John Adams, who I don't think was a particularly devoted Christian, mentioned that, well, in order for our government to work, it presupposes and assumes a moral and a religious people. So I think it's interesting because LifeWise doesn't actually like infiltrate, shall we say, the public school system, like many people even in Texas, trying to bring the Ten Commandments back into and put it up on the wall.
Yeah, and we feel pretty strongly that the sustainable way to do it is this model, where it's off-school property, privately funded, parent-permitted. I do think there's a danger in trying to like actually force it into the public school building, because I think that you're going to have way harder pushback on that. And I also, truthfully, I think that the idea of freedom of religion and freedom of religious expression, that's a biblical idea that comes from when Jesus is talking about how you should bless those who curse you and pray for those who persecute you. You know, that is setting the groundwork for a world where we can disagree with civility. You know, there's a lot of places in the world where you can't do that, where countries where you live here and you believe this and you worship this way. And America is not that way, and the West is not that way, for large part because of the biblical influence on being able to disagree in a civil manner because of those sorts of biblical ideas. Obviously, I want everyone to hear the gospel, but I think that if there's families who don't want their kid to learn the Bible during public school day, they shouldn't be forced to do that. So that's why it's optional. And it's a, you know, ultimately it comes down to parents. Like, this is a parents' rights issue. And lots of people in these communities want their kids to have biblical instruction during the school day. It's the parents who are driving this. We as LifeWise Academy are merely supplying the tools and the resources for communities to do it. But it's a parent's choice at the end of the day.
What do you hope parents, educators, policymakers will take away from this documentary and act on?
I really hope that they will recognize that this is the answer to this crisis of meaninglessness in the next generation. They need hope. LifeWise Academy is providing an optional way for communities to reintegrate the Bible into the public school day. And, you know, we're seeing stories all the time of students. I just heard a story the other day of a school board who they have a functioning LifeWise program, and they were reevaluating whether or not they should keep it. And they were flooded with letters from their community, from students and teachers, all saying, please, this is so valuable to us. And there was one particular story of a girl who said she really heavy struggles with depression, doesn't like going to school ever. But on the days that she has LifeWise, she isn't just willing to go to school, but she's excited to be there. And it is just learning the Bible and hearing the gospel and all of that has given her hope. And the school board said, listen, if that's the impact it's having on our students, if this is a situation where the people in our schools are total heroes for the work that they do, but man, the work is so big that it's like, if there's a way for the community to rally around and provide support and bring hope to the students of our communities, who wouldn't want that? You know, and that's what I want people to take away, is like, this is a net positive for everyone, for educators, for families, all across the board. And like, people talk all the time about what is the thing that we need? What's the answer? There's all these problems societally, and the gospel has always been the answer, but this is the most practical, scalable way to reintegrate it that I've seen, to reintegrate it back into our civilization, into the Western civilization, to America particularly.
How do you see this documentary and your organization influencing the national conversation on faith and education in coming years?
I mean, it's already starting to. We're seeing a lot of conversations start to invite us to have a seat at the table to speak into a lot of the issues that we're dealing with from a education standpoint. And I mean, there's not a whole lot more to it than what I've already said. Like, this is just a model that makes a lot of sense for us to reintegrate the Bible into public education. The whole premise of the movie is, here we have the most transformational book in all of human history banned from the one place where we educate 90% of our population. That's a problem, right? And just people just simply don't know there's a way to do it. There's a way to bring it back that respects parents' choice, that is a perfect example of separation of church and state. It's all those things. And I think this is the way to do it. I don't know. There's a whole lot new to add to it. I just hope that we're able to have more of a seat at the table to speak in and just share with people, this is what's going on, this is the impact, and anyone in any community can do it.
You've been listening to His People on Pilgrim Radio. Many thanks to today's guest, Nate Lundquist, director of the new documentary, Off School Property, Solving the Separation of Church and State. It's set to premiere in theaters October 23rd. If you'd like more information, go to fathomentertainment.com. Coming up on tomorrow's program, it's Jim Winans and friends of Hallelujah Toffee making candy to support missions.
How God uses a simple thing to bring people to God. Toffee. I mean, who would think that toffee could become a thing that has donated hundreds of thousands of dollars over the years to seeing people come to Christ?
That's tomorrow at the same time, right here on His People. Thanks for listening.